six, five, four. We've gone for main engine start. We have main engine start.
Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
Welcome back to 80s Pop Tops. My name is Shelby, and welcome back to my weekly podcast discussing 80s music and other fine pop bits of music and pop culture stuff from the 80s. It was the holidays, so I had taken a little time around Christmas off, but I'm glad to be back with you all. And this week we'll be discussing the month of September of 1980. There's a couple of repeats in here because at this time at the end of the year, we had a few songs that hung around for a while. And of course, we'll go over them and I'll try to bring in new bits and bobs about these other songs, but that you may have heard. So we will start with a number song from this year, 1980. This was Fame by Irene Cara from the movie Fame. She was originally starred in the movie and was Coco Hernandez, and this was her song. This song won an Academy Award and a Golden Globe for the best song of 1980. It was also nominated for a Grammy for Best Female Pop Performance. If you know this song, you know the scene from the movie of kids busting out and dancing all around in New York City and dancing around in the old style New York City, dirty, grimy, grungy of the late 70s, early 80s. So let's take a quick listen and I'll be right back with you. That was Fame by Irene Cara. This song would peak at number two for a few weeks back in September of 1980. This was the beginning, or one of the first few examples of using modern popular music for a movie. They would either have an original pop song written for the movie like this, or Eye of the Tiger like Survivor, or a couple years later they would turning the whole album into a showcase for popular music like Flashdance and Footloose. Which would then go on to make the movie a hell of a lot more money. That was definitely not the first case, because the first case being that was Saturday Night Fever, the multi-platinum, multi-million dollar selling album for that movie. But even after that, they didn't start doing that for everything until a little later on, as in 1984. Now we're going to move on to number four. This song is by Air Supply. This would peak at number two. Right now it's at number four. This would be another one of their similar styled songs. Most of their songs are very similar. A very ballad about a man who's wronged a woman who's begging for her to take him back. Well, I guess that's never overdone or a trope or done too much to death. I guess just men screw up a lot. As we would see, this would be very similar. This would not be a number one, but they would have an eventual number one a few weeks later. So let's go ahead and take a listen to this song.
Carry your smile in my heart. For times when my life seems so low, it would make me believe what tomorrow could bring, when today doesn't really know.
I'm all out of love, I'm so lost without you.
That was All Out of Love by Air Supply. That song, as I said, would peak at number two. And one of the more interesting things about the song is the lead singer held the note at the end for 16.2 seconds and would hold the record for the longest held note by a male until 1983. Could not imagine being holding a note that long, be out of breath real quick. But as you can imagine, that was what Air Supply did. And they also had books about your biology. All right, moving on to number three. Now, I will preface this next three songs. These three songs did appear on our last countdown. Unfortunately, these three songs had a lot of staying power, so we'll be going different aspects of them, but you've already heard these before, but that's all right. There's other things we can talk about, and we'll start with number three. This is Emotional Rescue by the Rolling Stones. Again, the early 80s stuff is from the Rolling Stones is not my favorite. I do like a lot of their songs, more of the 60s stuff, Gimme Shelter, Sympathy for the Devil, Paint It Black. I enjoy that more than Start Me Up and this song, Emotional Rescue. Emotional Rescue and Start Me Up are actually two of my least favorites, and they both came out about the same time. They would sit around and they'd be playing forever, and they'd come out with a couple other albums in the 80s. I think even into the early 90s, they were touring, go out on their Steel Wheels tour, and everybody would always say, it's like, oh yeah, they're going out on tour again. And I would always hear, they're not that good live, so use your money wisely. To go sit in a large stadium, barely see them, and see them just jam for a few hours on whatever songs they wanted to play. But to each his own. I don't ever criticize about music or movies. Everybody has what they like and what they don't like. That's fine. Just don't criticize me for what I like and don't like. That being said, let's give Mick and the Boys a quick little listen.
That was number three, Emotional Rescue by the Rolling Stones. This is what happens when you spend too much time doing cocaine and partying in Studio 54. You just think you can do a disco song. I guess Gene and Simmons of Kiss and Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones said they had met at the club maybe one time. I don't know, I'm just guessing. And said, hey, let's do disco music. Why not? It'd make a lot of money and everybody will love it. Made a lot of money, not everybody loved it. Summarizes disco in a big nutshell. Mind you, I like a lot of it, but this I don't. So now we're going to go on to number two, Sailing by Christopher Cross, down from his number one peak of last time we did this talk. This was his peak. He had just done Ride Like the Wind. This is the second single off of that album. It was doing real well. He would have another big hit come next year or the year after with the theme from Arthur. Then after that, MTV came along and decided you were no longer needed and you would be just touring and opening for everybody else. Still a good singer, still a good songwriter. So just decided the popular culture was past having him as a star, as so maybe. I do love this song. I do love a lot of these songs off the album for him. But it's what it is, and just things go as they go. Let's take a quick listen to the yacht rock sounds of Christopher Cross. Sailing by Christopher Cross, the number two song for this countdown, and one of the wonderful sounds of yacht rock that dominated the airwaves in the early 80s. So now we will go on to our number one song. This is, again, a repeat from last week, but it was moving up from the number two position to the number one position. This is Upside Down by Diana Ross. This was the last album she put out for Motown. She would move to MCA the next year and have a couple more hits with them. But this was her final work for Motown, which she had began her career and had grown up with the Supremes and in her solo career into the 70s. Like I'd said, she has three different periods. Her girl group period with the Supremes, the solo stuff in the 70s, and then her solo stuff in the 80s. all have very different sounds, all have very different influences. You can sit around and tell what periods you're coming from with her by just the songs themselves. This, again, was a more disco-flavored, but not so much disco, because it did start to hear a turn to the more 80s dance sound that would come out later on, a couple of years from now. So you can say she was a little bit ahead of her time, even though she was still one of the older rock acts or pop acts still around. Her stuff is wonderful. Everybody knows about her collaborations with Michael. Everybody still believes the song Dirty Diana is about her, which, okay. Michael did write a song for her in the 80s. We will not cover it because it wasn't a big hit, so that's why I'm bringing it up now. I don't know if I'd brought it up the other time, but I had heard it recently, and it's just like, wow. It's called Muscles. If you ever want to laugh or just want to hear a weird song, it's not even a novelty. It's just weird. He wrote it for her, and it's called Muscles, where she sings about a man's muscles. So, yeah, a little different, a little odd, but then again, Michael Jackson would never say about him is that he was conventional. So let's take a quick listen again to Miss Diana Ross. Inside out and round and round, upside down. Boy, you turn me inside out and round and round. Instinctively, you give to me the love that I need. I cherish the moments with you. Respectfully, I say to thee, I'm aware that you're cheating. When no one makes me feel like you do. That was Upside Down by Diana Ross. That would peak at number one for 4 weeks. So you can, as you'll guess, we'll be turning Upside Down with Diana Ross one more time. So that reaches the end of our little countdown for this week. I'm covering September in 1980. Once again, I want to thank you all for coming here and spending a few minutes listening to me go on about music. I want to wish everybody who is out there, who is listening, a very happy holidays, Christmas, whatever you happen to celebrate, or just a very happy end to 2020, which I think that's a universal one at this point. So thank you all for coming in and joining me. I will be going off the charts next week. We will be covering a topic. I have something in mind, maybe some specific artist from this year that we'll go over. I will, at the end, when I get to the end, December of 1980, I will have a special episode where I cover some unknown songs from the 80s that we didn't cover that I personally like and remember. I want to thank you all for being with me. As I said, the beginning of the 80s is not as good as the middle parts are. It's just, you don't get to the good parts without getting where you came from. So there are good things here and there, but as I said, this decade had a very slow transition from the 70s. It had a disco hangover. It didn't know where it wanted to go with the pop charts. It had a lot of country crossover, which I did like, but after the 80s, it faded away. So as you can see, things are very different. MTV came in and changed the whole way things work. So the earlier parts are just so different. So I want to thank you for being with me and just letting me ramble on, because I've really enjoyed doing this. And I know I don't have a gigantic audience, but the few people that I do listen, I do appreciate you, and spending your few days, a few minutes each week with me has been wonderful. So thank you all, and have a very happy new year. I will talk to you all again. Bye.